This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, hello and welcome back to yet another Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Well, because Mansfield Matters. We are back in the usual place, but we are two less. The treatment table has really taken a battering this week, but no, I'm not going to play the part of the physio. No one can do that. Nathan Edge is away with the England blind squad. The first time, I think, since he won that bronze medal. I'm sure he'd get that in if he was here, so why not? Yeah. And Simon, after signing a contract to say he'd be a permanent panellist, he's disappeared. He's done something called work. Not quite sure what that is. So I'm stuck with these two reprobates. To my left is Mr. Cam Felton.
Hello.
Very good evening to you.
You're
and right. To my right back once again is Mark Plum.
Right.
So there you go. It's just the three of us tonight, you and I.
Yeah.
There's a song there somewhere, isn't there? To talk all things at Mansfield Town. So if you're watching on the Facebook live feed tonight, make sure you get your comments in and join us with your points, your questions, your arguments, whatever. We want to hear from you tonight. You can drop us a comment in the Facebook live stream, or of course you can tweet us at MTFC Matters. Still though, plenty to talk about tonight, and let's start, as always, with the connection question. Coventry at the weekend, so obviously it's going to be very loosely based towards Coventry. So I want to know which current Coventry player had a short loan spell with the Stags in 2010, and who was the opposition manager on his debut, which was a 4-1 loss. So who was that player who had a short loan spell with the Stags in 2010, now at Coventry, and who was the opposition manager on his debut in a 4-1 loss? Mark, do you think you know? Do you think you know either one of the two?
I think I know the player.
You know the player. Cam?
I'm just trying to think who we'd get beat 4-1 by in the conference.
Everyone. Really?
Well, yeah,
especially in 2010.
I ain't got a clue.
No idea.
No.
Okay, if you think you know, let us know in the comments, as always, and I shall reveal the answer later on in the show. Which current Coventry City player had a short loan spell with the Stags in 2010, and who was the opposition manager on his debut, which was a 4-1 loss? Of course, it all connects to Saturday's game at Coventry. Let's look back, though, to last week and last weekend. Live in front of the nation, we nearly slipped on the banana skin, but the magic of Danny Rose and the magic of the FA Cup came to fruition once again. Mark, you were telling me earlier you were watching it on your phone.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that then. Let's see how big your phone screen is. How close to your phone were you?
Yeah, it's massive.
So, all right, big fair
screen,
enough. It's not too bad then, yeah. It's not too bad.
Same as me then.
So, yeah. If you want to send us some free phones, it's fine.
Yeah.
We will advertise phones. No problem.
Others are available. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you were watching it, and when Danny Rose puts the ball in the back of the net the first time, nice little header, good header. We'll talk about that. And then the second time, the scissor kick, the bicycle kick, however you want to describe it.
Yeah.
What was your reaction? Did the phone go flying up in the air?
I just jumped up and shouted, you know, I was buzzing about it. I mean, it came at a good time as well. I was on top of the game, and it just would have killed the game off, I felt, when it went in. What a brilliant moment, and I think it's one of the best goals I think they've scored in quite a while for the Stags, to be honest.
It was a truly sensational strike. Cam, we were sat right in line.
It was just one of these looping crosses, and it just kept coming and coming, and Danny Rose just turned his body, got up in the air. Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. And what a place to do it, in front of all the cameras. Voted goal of the round.
Yeah.
And obviously got man at match as on the Stags poll on Facebook and on Twitter and wherever else it was. And just, I think it was something like 116,000 people saw that one clip within a few hours. It's just amazing how far TV coverage goes and how far it goes on social media.
Yeah, definitely.
You wouldn't say like little team as Mansfield, but in the past we've been a smaller team. Mm. So to get a big stage to come and perform on, and for some, Danny Rose to do something like that, I think you look at Danny Rose has had a lot of attention from other teams recently in the past week that Steve Evans has turned down quite a lot. But it's that, it's those sort of magic moments that people start standing up and saying, good goal, he's a good player, and that's what gets all these transfer rumours going.
We'll talk more about Danny Rose and whether, you know, how actual vitally he is to the cause later on in the programme, of course. We'll stick with looking at Shaw Lane for the moment. Simon has just popped up on our Facebook feed and says, good evening, boys. And he also says, what a goal from Danny, quality. If it was any of the Premiership players, they would be showing it for weeks. But because it's the lower leagues, nobody is interested. Paul also says, classic goals, both of them. Completely agree. And Dave Minnett says, come on, you Stags. So if you want to drop us a comment tonight, you can do so. But I will say, Simon, if you've got time to be standing, watching this and commenting, you've got time to walk out of work and come and join us on the panel. Absolute disgrace. Yellow card. Right. So obviously, thanks very much for joining us this evening. And keep those comments coming in the live stream. Let's continue to talk about Shaw Lane then. First half, Cam. Probably what you'd expect, to be fair. It took Mansfield a while to get going. They had a little spell early doors where they sort of knocked on the door, and perhaps if they'd have stolen an early goal, they may well have been a different story. It might have been a cricket score. But after that first sort of 5 minutes or so, when Shaw Lane soaked up the pressure, for me, there was only one team in it the first half, and it wasn't Mansfield Town.
I think it was more down to, not down to confidence. I think it was just like what we're comfortable with. Obviously, they're comfortable with the conditions that we played in. It's not that it was cold, it was cold that day, but they're used to playing in high winds because there's nothing stopping the wind at their ground. It's just this open field at the back of a village.
Yeah.
So they were more used to that. So I think they settled into their rhythm quicker than what we did.
Yeah.
And I think that because they got out onto the on the front foot early, I think they'd had a couple of chances, but I think as soon as Stags adapted to their style, I think you could only see there was one team going to win in 90 minutes. I think they had the better of the first half because Stags didn't quite get up for it early enough. I think they just sat back a little bit too much, gave the opposition too much respect and gave them too much time to play the ball around. And I think if they'd have been on it straight away, I don't think Shaw Lane would have got their goal in the first half, to be honest.
Let's have a look at some of the comments before we lose them in the live stream. Dave Millett says Danny Rose is staying for project promotion. In Evans, we trust Mansfield till I die. And Paul says, very scrappy first half, some slowing tackles going in early. Chris says, we survived the banana skin, but in the poor pitch affected us in the first half. I think it did. I think, do you know what? It might seem like I'm criticising Evans a little bit here, but I genuinely don't think on that first half performance that they took the pitch into consideration. For me, Mark, it didn't feel like anyone had actually been down. All right, they probably had Shaw Lane watched on videos and on Y Scout or whatever it's called nowadays.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't think anybody physically made the trip to Shaw Lane, to Sheeran Park, and had a look first hand close at that pitch, because the way Mansfield set up with Mellis and Byron midfield obviously was to try and be creative and try and pass it, but you try and roll a pass across that service, it's going to ping all over the shop.
Yeah, they certainly made life difficult for us. I mean, again, like we've just said, you know, they play like this week in, week out, and, you know, the conditions, I mean, it's no excuse, really, because it's the same for both sides, really. And, you know, I think the first half, it was a bit worrying, to be fair, because, I mean, they were looking, I mean, apart from the goal we scored, they were looking organised, and they made life difficult for us, you know, and we was lumping the ball into the box, and it was difficult to get into the game. But the second half, when we got into a shape, I think then we definitely...
I'll say that's the thing, shot. Sometimes, when we're in the league, you can't blame the pitchers.
No.
Because you've got a pretty good standard of pitchers in this division, even though we are quite far down the pyramid.
Yeah.
So to drop only two, three divisions down, and to go on and play a pitch like that, we saw it when they were just warming up. It were cutting up quite badly then, and they were only warming up.
We did a bit of a mini live video, didn't we? An impromptu podcast, which is becoming more and more famous than this actual show, which is quite concerning. But we had a look at the pitch, didn't we?
It didn't look fantastic.
It didn't look great at all, did it?
And I think we set up. I wouldn't say that we set up wrong. I think we just didn't adapt quick enough. I think they saw that we weren't quite ready for the challenge.
Interesting comment from Jason on that point, actually. He's just messaging on Facebook, Jason Moyer, and says, we dropped their level for large parts of the game. Agree?
I think I do agree. And I think for them sort of games, I think you have to. Because if we hadn't have got these hard tackles in and playing the ball long sometimes, I think we'd have probably conceded a few more. You think the situations that we got into, we were goal mass scrambles, trying to get the ball away. Yeah. I think if we'd have tried to be Mansfield and played the ball out like we would anywhere else, I think we'd have conceded a hell of a lot more goals. Yeah.
David disagrees, however, so let's see what you think of this, Mark, obviously from the perspective of watching it on the TV and things like that.
Yeah.
David says, if you look back at the game over, all they had in a hole was 10 minutes of the game, as Evans said. Mm-hmm. Watching that on the TV, is that something that you felt that they had probably a short intermittent spells, but did we sort of, as a whole, sort of take control? Were we in control of that game?
I won't say the first half, no, but I mean the second half we come into the game more, but I think, you know, when they had possession, okay, they wasn't doing much with it, admittedly so, but even so it was still a bit worrying, because again, if you lose your slip of concentration, then that's it, that's all it takes, and especially being a cup game, anything can happen. So,
and the script was written, wasn't it? Obviously, yeah. we did sort of come out a little bit brighter in the second half, and we got a few more moves going. Hamilton, I thought, was instrumental in that. McDonald, yeah, as well, was superb. His cross, yeah, by the way, a lot of people are talking about Danny Rose's finish, but the cross for that and the movement on it was sublime as well, yeah, and brilliant as well. We'll come on to that a little bit more later. But for me, I think the thing is, the script writers were out there. The reason it was on TV is because people wanted Shaw Lane to beat us.
Yeah.
They got a goal back, a scrappy goal back, really. We didn't really particularly defend it that well. We should have perhaps done a little bit better, but it happens and we accepted it.
Yep.
Then we do well and we play quite well and we get the penalty and then we miss.
Yeah.
And one or two things could have happened there. The heads could have dropped or we could have rallied. Fortunately, we rallied and we got through the game.
Yeah.
But when you saw that penalty saved from the keeper, who, to be fair, was in good spirits, right, and had a good banter with the crowd, what was going through for your mind? Did the phone nearly go across the room then?
Also, I was frustrated with the miss, but I still felt we'd create more chances. I didn't think we'd go on to lose a game. I still felt we would have goals in us.
So that's the thing. It's down to these penalty situations. We've scored, what, three penalties out of how many we've been given?
Yeah.
We've been given
three out of seven now. I think we missed four, scored three. I think that's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it's these sort of situations where we need to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think being given opportunities like a penalty and missing them is not how you need to be doing it. You need to be taking full advantage of these opportunities. And especially for a tough game like Saturday, where we needed as much help as we needed, because they were always going to be up for it more than we were.
Another thing as well, have we actually got a spot taker just that takes all the penalties?
I think Mellis took it just because he scored the last one this season.
It was Angle when he scored, because after all the debate, Evans came out and said, alright, it's Angle who's taking the penalties, alright. And then what
moving on.
Evans came out and said it's Angle who's going to take the penalties.
Yeah.
And then obviously he wasn't on the pitch when we got the third one after, which Mellis then took and scored, so therefore by proxy he takes it. What happens now is completely different. Let's go through some of the other comments. Chris says KP should have taken the pen. He'd have probably blazed the back of the net off and ripped it off and it would come flying towards our faces, so you know. It was the right game for Digby. The midfield would have been tightened up, which would have stopped their midfield breaking through. Simon says Shaw Lane unlucky to not go in front by half time, but in the second half fitness took its toll and we took our chances apart from the penalty. Of course, he also says whether it's Shaw Lane or Exeter, we need to start putting these penalties away. This could be the difference between winning and losing. And Peter says it's the magic of the FA Cup. In the third round against a Premier League team, we will be the underdogs, and it's exactly that, isn't it? That's the nail on the head. It is the magic of the FA Cup. We can sit here and we can talk about the poor pitch, whatever. That's another point I'll come on to in a moment. But it is about the journey and
yeah.
the fact we've battled and avoided a potential banana skin ourselves. That then sets us in good stead for, you know, for what could come. I mean, look back to 2013. At this stage in the competition, we went to Slough Town, who were a couple of divisions below us. We drew with them at the One Court Stadium. We couldn't beat them. And then it went all the way to extra time and penalties.
Yeah.
And then, fortunately, at the end of it, we got a reward in Liverpool. So it's just, each with the FA Cup, each game is a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's one of those things. One thing I do want to pick up on, and if you want to get involved in this on Facebook as well, you can in the comments below, or if you want to tweet us, at MTFC Matters. As well, we talk about the state of the pitch, we talk about the facilities. For me, Saturday's trip to Shaw Lane was a really, really stark reminder of where we once were
yeah.
and how far we've come, and without being too arrogant and without taking an arrogant approach to it, of a reminder of where the goddamn hell we do not want to be again. And that's nothing against Shaw Lane. I wish them all the best with their future endeavours, but we were playing at grounds like that week in, week out.
Yeah.
And at this time of year, when pitches are already cutting up, it's hard to play football.
Yeah.
And you have to find a way through that. And as much as people slag Paul Cox off for playing it long, the only way to avoid playing it on the ground, it bobbing all over the place, is to play directional high football.
Exactly. And that's what we did on Saturday. The pitch was cutting up even before half time. It was cutting up as soon as we kick the first ball in the first half. It's not anything that Shaw Lane can do, is not as anything that Athersley Recreation can do about their pitch either.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it does, with it being a ground share, the pitch doesn't get time to recover.
No.
And it's not, they've not got a massive budget to spend on the pitch like we've got, spending close to £1 million on a brand new pitch. Our pitch won't get like that at any point. So Evans has set out, and you wouldn't expect any other club in this division's pitch to get as bad.
But say ours won't get like that. It won't now, because we've spent the money on it, and Mez has done a fantastic job with it, and obviously we thank John and Carolyn for, you know, signing the chequebook. But two or three seasons ago, even though we weren't ground sharing, it was just us playing on the pitch, at this stage in the season, our pitch would start to have holes on it now. How much of an advantage is that for us now, knowing that we can come and play at home early November, late November, early December, all the way through to probably, you know, January, when it's getting heavy and it's getting hard and getting tough to play on?
Mm.
How vital is that now, to know we can come home and play on a carpet?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, the style of football that we're wanting to play as well, you know, it doesn't matter what time of year, as you say, because the pitch is spick and span, and, you know, you look at the work we've got as well, so it just caters for how we play, and hopefully you hope that it's just going to kick us on. And but, you know, I mean, look at some away grounds that you go to, like some Akron, to Notre Dame Spectrum on Newport in the past. So, you know, we've got no excuses, to be honest with you.
I'll say the pitch that we've got now is fantastic, and if we can't play good football on it, then I don't know what we're doing, because I know when the Alan Shearer event rolled around that I did, I had a close look at the pitch, because it was the first chance I got to get pitch side.
Yeah.
And it's just so soft and it's so even, and it just gives us that bit of an edge. We can play creative football on it. The ball's not going to bobble around.
Mm.
It's not. We can actually play swift, zippy football. It's not going to bobble around. It's something we can build on.
Mm. Question and comment from Dave on Facebook says, fed up of hearing the word gelling, but finally, I think we are. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I could see it.
I'd agree, yeah, definitely. Mm.
I think we are, and I think the issue is now, we've got such a big squad, and you look at the players who are missing at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, Murphy's out, Angle's out, we'll talk more about that in a little while as well, and they've got to come back into the fold at some point. I think we've got to be very, very careful of managing those changes when we make them and integrating them back in the squad, because we get to the point of, if you've got so, you know, you can only play 11 players. So that means, say, for argument's sake, I think we've got a squad of, what, 24, 25?
Something like that,
Let's just say 24 for argument's sake. I'm probably wrong. You know, just, let's just stay with 24. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you've got a squad of 24, you can only pick 11, which leaves the rest out in the cold. Gaffer, why am I not playing football?
Yeah.
And then they get annoyed and spit the dumb out of the pram.
Well, that's
it's managing it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of having cup games as well, because you can play them in that. Okay, I know it's not the same as the league, but at the end of the day, it's a chance for them to prove a point.
It's the same with the reserve leagues. Like when we were back in the conference and you'd got David Allsworth in charge, Mr. Loan every player that's available. Yeah. But we had them problems in the past and we didn't, I didn't think we had the staff or the manager that could deal with it. And I think now we've got a bigger squad. I think we have got the right team that can manage it, because you've got Steve Evans and Paul Rayner bossing it on a match day, but also when you've got your reserve games, both of them normally do go to the reserve games as well and give the fringe players a chance to run out. And I think it's, we didn't get as many reserve games back in the conference.
Oh, no.
So a bigger squad didn't work. You wouldn't get the game time. So it's just...
Sorry, I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing at some of the comments coming up from Facebook. Gary says in the comments, can you please cover the blue shirt up behind you? It looks like a Spyrite shirt. Never should play in blue. Don't move it, because it will... Everything will fall down. This is tactically moved. Don't move anything. It's tactical. I can assure you, it is a home shirt. I'm just slightly... There you go, you can see it is one of the home shirts, but it's slight OCD. The problem with this is, right, we don't have a massive budget. Now, if anyone wants to chuck us some money, we can definitely sort this out and have a proper set. But the thing is, everything's held up by these, I guess, holding these shirts up, and the blue one was right in the middle, and if I move that, everything will fall down, and all you'll see behind us is a dodgy looking wall, so nobody wants that. The blue thing, yeah, maybe. I do prefer the white away shirt. I love the white.
Oh, it is so much better.
It is so much better. Let's go back to the comments. I hope that's cleared that up for you, Gary, by the way. Thanks for bringing that up and thanks for tuning in. Let's go back through some of the comments. We were talking about the pitch, weren't we, as well. Michael's made a good point about Saturday's game at Coventry. We'll come to that later on. Please do remind me and Michael if I haven't raised your comment. We will look at that as well. Gary says, I'll donate 30 quid if you take it down and lob it. Yeah, but everything else will fall down. I'm tempted, but because that's like food, but maybe. I tell you what, if you make it, if everyone else does the same and it gets to a nice figure, we might consider it. where was I? I was in the comments, wasn't I, as well. We'll come to Michael's comments later. Michael, if I don't answer your point, please do raise it again about Coventry. Chris shows, talking about the pitch, it shows the amount of belief that the Radfords have in MTFC and want to progress to a higher status, i.e. League One and higher in the future. Mick says, we were talking about, obviously, squad development and things like that as well. Mick says, I think we have a squad for the second half of the season with injuries and when injuries and bans will come into place. What do you guys think? I'll start with you, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's Evan's thinking about signing the players, you know, injuries, suspensions, and I mean, well, that as well, and competition for places. I'd agree with that.
It certainly is one, isn't it, Cam? I mean, if you look at what we've got, it's, I think the reserve team, we'll talk about more about this in a little bit as well, because we'll talk about the reserve's result, but the reserve team will play a vital part in this, won't it? Because it's keeping players fit, it's keeping players active, it's keeping players, for want of a better word, competitive. Because it is a competitive league that they're playing. It's not just a friendly.
Exactly, and going back to the point I made earlier, back in the conference when we were playing reserve games, it was just friendlies all the time. There was no bite in the game. There was nothing to chase the game for. Whereas now, because it's a league, you've got that a little bit more incentive. And going back to what Evan said, might have been last season, you don't get fit to play, you get fit by playing. So for someone such as David Murphy, who's prone to injuries at the minute, Alex McDonald was one at the beginning of the season as well. Lee Angle needed some time on the pitch to find his goal scoring boots. It's giving these players chance to play and still have that competitive hunger in the game.
Let's talk about Danny Rose then. Obviously, we've been talking a little bit about, obviously, the Saturday at Shaw Lane. Let's talk about Danny Rose as a player and the impact he had. I've been having this argument at work with my colleague about which goal was the better goal. Out of the two, volley or header, what are you going to say, Mark?
Volley.
Cam?
That's a tough one, to be honest. Because you look at it and you think it was a fantastic piece of skill for the volley, but I'm going to say header, purely because it's down to how you move off the ball. It was a fantastic... Was it CJ Hamilton or Mal Benning?
I think it was Benning to Hamilton.
I'll say, whoever crossed it in...
It was to Hamilton and the cross was from Hamilton,
fantastic ball in, but Danny Rose's movement off the ball to get into that position, to leap higher than players that were a good few inches taller than him, to get the angle on the ball to loop over the goalkeeper I think he just took that little bit extra class to get that one in.
I think the thing with that as well is it's all about the way he moved his body. I mean, to get in the box and to get a volley away, obviously there is something special about that goal, the technique, what have you, the clean strike, but you can probably knock that ball in 100 times and you're probably going to score twice, which is fair enough. But the movement for the header, as Cam said, and then it wasn't just a simple cross and get your head stuck on it. The way he arced his neck and managed to deflect the ball up and loop over the goalkeeper into the top corner to make it drop,
that
just shows his class. And I do worry about where Mansfield would be. I mean, I think we've signed some good players, we've got potential in there, as we say, week in, week out.
Yeah.
But where on earth would this Mansfield Town team be without Danny Rose?
Well, that's what worries him. I mean, if he gets injured or suspended, who's going to score all the goals? I mean, can you see the angle stepping up to the plate?
Say Danny Rose got injured Saturday or got sent off or whatever, then we've not got Lee Angle on the bench.
We've not got a second
goal scorer on the bench.
Spencer and Sterling James, aren't you?
Sterling James isn't.
He's not a striker.
Really, he's not a striker.
He's a wingman. I think he's a good impact wingman.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be tough for someone like Sterling James to get in the squad with CJ Hamilton playing so well. I think they play very similar positions. And I think we probably do need a striker in January. I think if Rose and Hemmings can keep this partnership going and they can start getting goals each rather than just Danny Rose getting the goals, I think they'll probably keep Hemmings on a permanent.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, if he starts scoring now, Hemmings, that changes everything.
He's a good player, but I just think he needs to find his scoring boots, and I think that's what he's struggling with. I don't know whether it's a confidence thing or whether it's an ability thing. We'll just have to find out as the season goes on.
I think he's trying too hard, I think.
Yeah, he's making this step down from League One to prove a point that he can score goals to get into the Oxford team. And I think once he does that, I think ears will start perking up like they are with Danny Rose. This lad can score goals. He's a good player. He can help the team as well.
I'm just looking at some of the comments coming through on Facebook as well. We was obviously talking about which one was better. Jason says header. Chris says defo header. And Simon, who, are you actually doing any work? I mean, you say you're at work. Are you actually doing anything? Are you just stood there just collecting money? Because this is getting beyond a joke now. He says, volley for technique, but the header, how he got in between two defenders and beat the goalie as well. But it was all about the crosses. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes you do look, don't you, at who scores the goals. But if the service ain't there, then Simon says, yes, he's doing work, by the way. I don't believe him. If the service isn't there, then you're not going to get it. And I think you've got to praise. It just goes to show, doesn't it? We were talking about this. It's that outlet ball out wide. Yeah. Get crosses out wide. Get into the box. Get on the end of him. McDonald, superb cross for the volley.
Yeah.
And CJ Hamilton, spot on cross for the header. And that's what we need more of. We can get balls out wide early.
Yeah.
Get the full backs beat and get good crosses into the box. Danny Rose will score more. Will keep scoring more. And then I believe that Hemmings will start scoring a few more. You look at the goals he has scored, you know, they've come from crosses. He does like to get in the box. I think sometimes a lot of the pressure has come on him because we've been so narrow and so tried to play forcefully down the middle.
Yeah,
his looks perhaps not come off. So
you look at the creativity we've got in midfield with Byron and Nellis, and that we're going to create goals.
So you think about all the missed chances that we've had. Hemmings missed a penalty at Carlisle, which I think was a fantastic save anyway. But I think just the chances that he's had, they've just fell. One was against Notts County where he was just balls looping over him. He tried to take it first time. I think he's trying to be too clever with his play. Just dumb it down a bit and just play basic football. And I think he'd get, not necessarily get more chances, but the chances he does get, he doesn't overthink them. And I think rather than trying to daintily dink it past the goalkeeper, I think if you took a touch and then tried to shoot, I think he'd score more goals. And I think it was unlucky not to score on Saturday, and I think where one of the best chances of the first half, where he's just straight over top front goalkeeper, their defence miss it, Hemmings runs onto it and he tries looping it over the goalkeeper. And I think if he'd took that few extra yards closer to keeper towards the goal, and got a shot low and hard in, I think he'd have probably scored from that, to be honest.
It's all about composure, isn't it? And just trying to get that finishing touch. Chris says, Angle must be pulling his hair out because he's better than Hemmings. Angle is out injured, so that's why he's not involved, and that's why he wasn't involved on Saturday. I think Steve Evans said in his press conference today that both him and David Murphy are about a couple of weeks away from being back into contention training wise. So bit of a blow with that one with Angle, but again an opportunity for other players to step up. On that point, other strikers doing particularly well. Jimmy Spencer I thought was excellent in the Chequered Trophy game against Everton, which we mentioned last week, and he's also continued to impress. Yes, he snatched that chance against Shaw Lane, but for me, left foot, I personally think he was trying to knock it back across the box for McDonald, but that's my own opinion. But he scored twice for the reserves in midweek. He's clearly impressing Evans at the moment, so maybe it could be his time of year, really, when you consider the weather and the pitches and what have you as well. Yeah. But so opportunities for them to come in. Let's have a look then. Obviously, we've looked at Shaw Lane, we've talked about Danny Rose and what have you. Let's look at what's followed on from that. The FA Cup second round draw. Yeah. I tweeted before that we would get Guiseley, and I wasn't wrong. If they can get through against Accrington, Paul Cox, the Stags' second most successful manager ever, will be back at the One Course Stadium for the first time. A lot of people, let's get this out of the way first and foremost, a lot of people are a little bit like, oh, it's not a great draw or whatever. Doesn't matter. The second round of the FA Cup is not about getting a good draw, it's about getting through, because the prize is on the other side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Accrington bogey team, yeah, whatever, but
we're
at home, so it's fine. Mm. Personally, out of the two, I do want Guiseley.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a nice, I think we've not seen Paul Cox in the competitive game or at all really since obviously he left. A lot of people disliked him towards the end, but for me he'll always be the man who got us back to the Football League. He was always a top man with me as well anyway. It'd be nice to see him come back to the One Course Stadium, get a bit of a round of applause and, you know, wish him well in his new job by knocking him out of the FA Cup. But it would be nice, wouldn't it, to see Paul Cox back.
I think it would also be a better game if we did play someone like Guiseley, because we play teams like Accrington week in, week out. If we play someone that's, I wouldn't say that's doing particularly well in the National League, but always managed to grind out results when they need to. And I think it is that we've seen what Shaw Lane can do and we've been to theirs. Now maybe we can see what a National League team can do when they come to us.
Yeah, good test
just
for us.
Bring them into our ballpark, not playing that long ball that Shaw Lane were doing. Play the Mansfield way. Actually play football. Get Byron Mellis knocking the ball around. Getting it zipping up the wing for McDonald and Hamilton to chase after. Make them play the Mansfield way, and just test ourselves, see how far we can push ourselves to get the result.
Let's stay on the subject of cup competitions for just a moment. Obviously, Mansfield will progress and have progressed in the Chequered Trade Trophy, which we all thought would happen anyway. Mansfield will be away because they finished as runners-up in the group. Lincoln beat Notts County by 2-1, which means they top the group. And it's now a bit of a weird format because it gets split up into four pots. So the winners of Group A, B, C and D will host one of the runners-up from E, F, G and H. So we will either play Fleetwood or Carlisle away. They've still got to play to decide who will top that group. Blackpool, Rochdale or Bury, or Port Vale. It's an away trip mileage-wise, which you don't particularly want on a Tuesday night, but, you know,
Port Vale's not too bad. Who fancies a
another Tuesday night trip to Port Vale? I mean, can we just not play it when we play Port Vale in a couple of weeks' time?
If we just do it as a double header. Ever thought of Blackpool on a Tuesday night? Doesn't sound...
In December?
It doesn't sound great, does it?
Are there Blackpool Illuminations, maybe? They might be submitting that. A bit of sightseeing, what do you reckon?
That's the thing, you could do it with Fleetwood as well. It's only down the road,
isn't it?
You get on a tram, don't you?
The one we don't want is what we had last year, which would be Carlisle on Tuesday night. That'd be absolute nightmare.
We did win it though, didn't we?
Well, yeah.
But who was the man that won it for us? Danny Rose.
I think the thing is, as it's not particularly about who we play, we threw to it anyway. A lot of people perhaps wanted us to be out, but it's an opportunity to go and earn a little bit more money, which goes into the coffers for for January, which is all right. And
yeah.
it could be worse. It could be an open competition like it used to be,
yeah.
and we could be going to Exeter on a Tuesday night or a Yeovil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse. Let's switch our attention now then to talk very briefly for now about the reserve team. A win against York, 5-0, I believe, on Tuesday. Two goals for Callum Butcher, two goals for Jimmy Spencer, and one randomly for Hayden White as well. A strong team. It was 11 first-teamers which started that game. Competition for places is rife. And Steve Evans has said, Mark, in his press conferences today, that he's watched the game back. Mm-hmm. And there are a few performances which have put themselves in contention for Saturday's trip to Coventry. So it just goes to show...
Yeah.
You know, if you step up to the plate and perform, you're going to get the opportunities.
Well, that's it. That's what it's all about. I mean, the strength and depth that we've talked about before as well. I mean, you look at the players outside injured.
Just going to cut you off there for a second before I forget, and we'll come back to that point in a second.
Yeah.
Fleetwood beat Carlisle last night, so it won't be Carlisle. Thanks for that, Mark. Much appreciated. I obviously didn't look out for results last night because Wednesday night is a very good night for me. Carry on, Mark.
Moving on.
But no, like I was saying, the strength and depth quality. But there's a chance for these players to really, you know, get themselves back into the team. And if they play well, if the confidence is running high, then why not, really? So and it's match fitness as well, which is the most important thing for the players.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I think it's if you look at, you know, the players such as Jimmy Spencer and players like that, and even some of the defenders as well, you know, you dig beers, your fullbacks as well. I suppose in each position, really, you've got two players for each position. So I think having that competition for places keeps it fresh, because those in the first team who were in those positions, they then got to turn up and think, well, hang on a minute, Jimmy Spencer played well in midweek in the reserves.
Yeah.
Such and such played well in my position. I'm going to have to step it up. And I think that then moves its way up the ranks, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's good that we've got such a competitive team this year, from players that have come down from higher levels, the odd few coming up from lower levels. And I think trying to get the best out of players is great this season. And I think having these reserve games quite regularly as well, it's every 2 weeks, sometimes you've got a weekly game as well. And I think it just gives the players a little bit more fight for their position, because before, quite a few of the players, they expect to play every game. Reece Bennett played every game, so you'd be that sort of player but expect to walk in. Mm. Whereas this season, he's not had much of a chance because everyone's been fighting.
As I understand it, I think the Central League, the Reserve League, I think is every 2 weeks. I might be wrong in that. I'm sure somebody will put me right on that. But as I understand it, the management do like to try and get a game each week. So whether that will be a public game, like, for example, at the end of the month, the one at Clipston, even though that's obviously to raise money for the club after what happened to them a couple of weeks ago with the vandalism and what have you, which is great, it's still a competitive fixture, and it's still an opportunity for Steve Evans to go, all right, get yourself out there and earn your shirt, son. it's an opportunity for them to go out and try and perform and to try and put the pressure on, which is fine. Or whether that's a behind the closed doors game, which we don't particularly know about.
Yeah.
You know, which is all right. We'd probably like to, and at least, you know, the point is, they're still getting competitive football, and I think that for me is key. If you as a player know, regardless of whether obviously you want to be playing in League Two.
Yeah, of course.
That's a given. You want to be playing for the first team in the starting 11, but sometimes you've got to accept that it's not going to happen.
No.
But if you as a player know, right, there's an opportunity once a week for me to play some football, to impress, I'm going to go out there and take it. That, for me, would keep me motivated enough to try and kick on and put the pressure on.
Exactly.
Would it not you?
Yeah, it would. And with the high level of competition that you've got for positions, because we've more or less across the entire squad, we've got one extra player for each position, if not two.
Yeah.
So it's not that you're challenging one person like it used to be, and you might expect to walk into the squad.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're competing against several other players, for like your strikers, for example. You'd probably expect Danny Rose to start on Saturday. Kane Hemmings, you might expect to start, but you never know, they might chuck Jimmy Spencer in there because he played well on Tuesday. You might chuck Amara Sterling-James in there just for a bit of pace up front.
Yeah.
Same with the midfield, Mellis and
Byron.
You might chuck Atkinson in there, or Butcher. You've got competition from every angle this season, which I think is not only improving one player's game, but also other players within the squad. So you're not trying to juggle players all the time. They're keeping themselves hungry because they want to better themselves. They want a place in this squad.
Yeah, we've seen what happened to Danny Rose as well when he got dropped for a few games, and how it made him, and look what he's doing now. So hopefully it could be the same impact on the other players.
Yeah, certainly so. Let's take a break from talking about the here and now and move on to one of the regular features, which is I've been on a bit of a holiday, to be fair, over the last couple of weeks or so, because we've done some quizzes and things like that. We will talk later on in the show, by the way. We'll talk more about the return of Paul Cox. We're going to talk attendances as well, and we're also going to be talking more about Coventry as well, looking ahead to that on Saturday. Also, if you've got a point you want to raise, keep them coming in the Facebook comments and we will get to them later on in the show. But now, time to turn our attention to the Ultimate 11, which over the last couple of weeks we've always picked our players who we like and who we've supported. We're going to do something a little bit different today. First and foremost, for those who don't know what the Ultimate 11 is, this is the part of the show where myself and the panel members pick their favourite players from a certain position. However, over the course of the season, it has changed slightly because, as you may notice if you're watching on the video live stream, if you're not and you're listening to the audio and you've missed it, 6:30 every Thursday, facebook.com/mtfcmatters. Make sure you get there in future, don't worry, we'll forgive you this week. And you'll see our, well, one beautiful, young-looking, good-looking face, and then these two idiots. You'll notice that we are quite young, even though Cam's trying to get a little bit older by growing a little bit of a struggle. I don't know what's going off there.
Full Paul Anderson.
I mean, if I sat that side, it would be the evolution of beard once again.
It would be.
If you're wondering what that is, episode 2 of the podcast was Evolution of Beard, I do believe. Go back on SoundCloud or on our website, mtfcmatters.co.uk, and you can listen back to the whole series again if you want to. I mean, you'd probably get locked up in a pants.
I do believe
cell,
we're also on
go.
iTunes now, aren't we?
Well plugged, Cam. Yeah, you can subscribe to the Mansfield Matters podcast on iTunes if you want to find out how to do so. There's a picture on our Facebook page which shows you how to do so. Just search Mansfield Matters podcast and it's there. Anyway, the point is, we're all young pups, so we all started watching. I started watching football in the Mansfield in the early noughties. Mark, when did you start?
Same time.
And Cam, you weren't born till
halfway through the noughties. I was born in
99. So you probably started watching 2005-ish.
2004, 2005.
So we're all young, so we can't really remember the classic players, the ones who really probably deserve to be in the ultimate. 11, the actual legends. So we've called it the Millennial Ultimate 11, where we pick players post-noughties who go in the side, with a few exceptions here and there. Today, however, rather than pick good players, would you agree that every team has a weak link? Every team has that one who tries but just didn't live up to expectations. Would you agree?
No.
No? Why wouldn't you agree?
Because my mum last week.
Well, all right,
it
fair
was
enough.
Your guys that didn't.
Yeah, underperforming players, shall we say?
Yeah,
saying it in the air.
Underperforming players, the players who have promise but just don't deliver.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Those ones were great on Football Manager, but in reality, it's just absolutely awful. So today, we're going to pick our. I want to call them just awful, really, but players who tried but ultimately didn't deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have that one sort of position. We will pick other players in the future as well, but because it's just us three, we're going to pick players who, in a central midfielder, we are going to stick with the position.
Yeah.
Players, we're going to pick a player who tried, but ultimately wasn't really fit to wear the shirt, let's be honest. Yeah, that's it, we'll call it that. The classic chant from the terrace. Yeah. You're not fit to wear the shirt. I want a player. You can get a proper rant mode on me, I don't mind. I want a player who wasn't fit to wear the famous amber and blue shirt, central midfielder. If you've got a suggestion, get them in on Facebook right now in the comments. Central midfielders who weren't fit to wear the shirt post-noughties. They must be post-noughties. Simon says, like Rob Duffy. Exactly like Rob Duffy, but a central midfielder. Yeah? keep those coming in.
I think that's...
As well. I think the comments on there is phrased. I've got it on my phone though, it's alright, it's all good fun. But we're still live, so it's fine. So keep those coming in as well. We want central midfielders who weren't fit to wear the shirt. Mark, have you got a couple? Even if you've got a couple of names, you can't just pin it to one. Give me a couple of names, and then we'll debate it and see.
I wouldn't say they're like really bad players, because.
Mark says Fraser McLaughlin.
Oops.
You can't remember Fraser McLaughlin? That was Carlton Palmer era. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Is there another player that you've watched in midfield? I mean, even you could even pick a good one if you like, and then you just give your reasons for why he's bad.
I want to say Adam Chapman, but the thing is, he did have a good spell over in the conference.
But your argument is he wasn't good
in the Football League.
Football League.
I just felt as though in the Football League.
I'd save it for you a minute because we're going to go with Adam Chapman. But I think we'll go along with that, won't we, Cam?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
difficult one.
It is quite hard, to be honest. Yeah. It's not quite as easy to think as a good player.
Like, yeah, that's just because you two are more less ranty than me. You care about people's feelings.
Oh no, I'll rant, but it's just like you've got to think like what of our players that we might not particularly like might have been somebody else's favourite player. Like when we was in the car on the way up here, I said my favourite player back from many, many years ago was Danny Reid. And I got that reaction. So, you see my point?
We'll back you. I think people get it. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's a bit of a joke. Who are you thinking of? Put yourself out there. Come on, be brave now. You're 18, you're a man. You're an adult, you can take it. If you can't, we're going to rip your hat off. And we're going to make you have a shave and become a baby faced again. Come on. There he is, look, he's going to Stone Island on this. Come on. Pin your colours to the mast.
Gary Roberts.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Mine, I am going to go, and I reckon I'm going to win this week. By the way, remember, if you've just joined us and you're wondering why we're picking not great players for the Ultimate 11, we're picking the one who's not fit to wear the shirt, okay? I'm going to pick Tyrone Thompson.
Oh, that was quality on goal, though. You got to say it. It's fantastic.
Thanks for making my pitch for me. Okay, so the usual rules do apply here. The usual rules. You see, you didn't think it through, did you? No. You had all that time to think it through. I told you about it before, and you just didn't. I had that in my head all the way through. The usual rules do apply. You've got 1 minute to stake your claim for why your player who's not fit to wear the shirt deserves a place in the Ultimate 11 as the bad guy. Okay, you're not fit to wear the shirt. I'm going to let Cam go first this week. Cam, you said you weren't afraid to rant, so me and Mark are expecting big things, aren't we, Mark?
Go on.
we can maybe put that one out there. Cam, 1 minute for why Adam Chapman is not fit to wear the shirt.
Adam Chapman. Gary Roberts.
You can tell it's live. Cam, 1 minute for why Gary Roberts is not fit to wear the shirt. Starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
Gary Roberts, tough tackler. Too tough. You look back at his games in the conference that he played for us, and he's going in for these wild challenges, never going to win the ball, just purely going for the man and just hacking them down. No real thought into his game. I can't say, he got us through a tough period in the conference where we weren't getting the results, so we were just drawing all the time. But I think them sort of players we needed back then. But I think a lot of the time the bad results came because he got sent off. You think, I think it was like Grimsby away, we got taunted like 7-2 or something ridiculous like that, and he'd been sent off, and it just changed the entire game. And I just think it's let the entire side down on too many occasions back in the day. And I think, fair enough, being a tough tackler is great, but he never really had any thought into his tackles and how he's going to go in for them. So yeah, it's just not quite getting it right.
That'll do. Nearly a minute. 59.98. I'll tell you a quick story about Gary Roberts. Obviously, he's from a famous city which does have its not so great areas, to be fair. You made a point, by the way, in yours, that he played in that 7-2 defeat.
Was it?
At Grimsby. I don't think he did. He was the year after. He played under Cox. He was the year after.
The season after. We still got beat.
But yeah, we still got beat. But yeah. I'll let you have it. Gary Roberts obviously must have had his demons on and off the pitch. We know there was issues surrounding, like gambling issues and you know, drink issues and whatever, which tarnished his career. But I once saw Gary Roberts. Remember Ebbsfleet away? Remember Ebbsfleet? Anyone been to Ebbsfleet? No, neither. No. Okay, well, old wooden stand. I was doing some commentary at Ebbsfleet. I think it was one of the hottest days of the year, actually, when my headset literally fused to my ears. And I saw Gary Roberts after the game with a fag in both hands, one fag in each hand. Took one drag out of one, another drag out of the other, and then kept swapping hands. And I walked around the corner and he went, "Oh, Craig, Gaffer's not around, is he?" It's like, no, you're all right, Robert, you're all right. And he carried on smoking both fags. And had two fags after the game and went back to the team. Wow. But it was a character, to say the least. Even so, we are looking for an Ultimate 11 midfielder, if you've just joined us, who's not fit to wear the shirt. We're not saying that these are players who we put in an Ultimate 11. We're just doing something a bit tongue-in-cheek today. So Cam's choice was Gary Roberts. Mark's choice is Adam Chapman.
Yeah.
Your minute on why Adam Chapman is not fit to wear the shirt starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
Adam Chapman, in the conference stage, you know, he did play an instrumental part. His debut, scored a hat-trick for us, I believe. Like I say, you can't fault him in the conference at all. It's just, I felt as though when we did get into the Football League, I just felt the sort of football we were playing, I just didn't think he was suited to it. It was always a long ball, very frustrating player. I mean, don't get me wrong, he had the odd one or two games where he did stand out, but it wasn't really consistent enough for me, and it was just frustrating, just putting the long balls up into the box. And you know, for a creative midfielder, you expect more, to chip in with goals and assists, and I don't think he really brought that to the team. But again, take nothing away from him in the conference, but to me, I don't think he was good enough to be in a Football League player.
Well, there you go. And he's now showing that. I mean, he's 27, he's Adam Chapman.
Yeah.
Left Boston Conference North, he's now playing for Sheffield FC. Waste of a talent. He's the classic example of, you know, do well in your home debut or whatever and then go down. I agree, mate, he was top draw for us in the conference and did well for us, but in the Football League, completely different player. Cam, are you ready to do your one bit of marshalling, if you like? And have you got a stopwatch on your phone?
Yes, I do.
Come on, sort yourself out. I'm giving you some responsibility.
Well, I'll get me brand new phone out.
Let's have a quick scroll through the comments whilst you're doing that. Simon says Danny Reid, really? Chris says Tyrone was the worst ever. He lost us the non-league cup. Can I join in and say Adam Smith, please? No, Simon, you can't join in and say Adam Smith, please, because you're not here and you should be doing some work. You work shy little boy. Only joking. But I'll tell you what you have missed out on. Both you and Nathan have missed out on. I'll try and cover the brand up. Frosted Fancies. I don't know if you can see them. You can probably see them. Cakes.
I brought
a new one. Winter special ones. Lovely cakes. Can't guarantee there'll be any left for next week. So just goes to show what happens when you don't turn up. Only joking, mate. I hope you're enjoying your work. Paul said on Facebook says, not midfielder, but didn't Carlton Palmer play in a game one season? Yes, he did. And he was a central midfielder with Carlton Palmer. However, he played... he made his debut at Stockport away at the start of his first full season in charge. And actually, as bad as he was as a manager, he wasn't actually that bad as a player. We were actually 2-0 up at Stockport and it all went wrong when Palmer took himself off. Yeah. So, yeah, wow. I remember that, yeah. So, there you go. And Simon says, it's a team effort, so if it was me and I lost my place to someone else who was... Oh, he's talking... Oh, I was going to read the comment out, but he was talking about what we were talking about earlier on, so there you go. Anyway, Cam, we are in the middle of our Ultimate 11 where we're looking at players who aren't fit to wear the shirt for a bit of tongue-in-cheek laugh and a bit of light relief. Cam, you went for Gary Roberts. Mark, you went for Adam Chapman. I've gone for Tyrone Thompson. So, Cam, it's over to you.
Right then, starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
Tyrone Thompson. Wow. Who can remember or who can ever forget that disastrous piece of football, Hazen Yedding away? One of the worst footballing experiences ever I have ever experienced. The ball comes in from the far side and it's an easy one to deal with. All he's got to do is put his foot through it and send it crashing out into the housing estate over yonder. What does he do? He spots whoever was in goal for us that day. I think it was David Groff, sort of off his line, and for some reason turns into a Hayes and Yedding player. Curls the ball into the top corner. It's the greatest finish you've ever seen, if you're a striker. But he wasn't. He was playing up right back, and it was a disastrous own goal, which was an absolute joke. And then at Wembley, Mansfield Town on the cusp of something good, and you can shove your stopwatch where the sun doesn't shine, because I'm not finished with this rant, son. At Wembley, Tyrone Thompson, all he had to do was put the ball out of play. I don't care about the time. All he had to do was put the ball out of play and keep it safe. But what does he do? He misses it. They get a throw, doesn't pick up his marker. Cross comes into the box. Chris Senior, 119th minute, header goes into the back of the net, and our dreams are shattered.
Don't
like a giant us. Walking on a paper cup. Tyrone Thompson, you're not fit to wear the shirt, and you lot at home better click on Tyrone Thompson for the vote. Rant over.
We probably went about a minute over, but
don't remind
us of Wembley heartbreak.
Couldn't care less. I hope you've enjoyed our little bit of tongue-in-cheek fun.
Think you've enjoyed it more than everybody else did.
I need to get that out of my system, to be fair. I hope you've enjoyed a little bit of tongue-in-cheek fun. Head over to Twitter at MTFC Matters to vote on that. We're looking for the ultimate 11 central midfielder, the one who's not fit to wear the shirt. Will it be Gary Roberts? Will it be Adam Chapman? Or will it be Tyrone? Couldn't score a goal. Tyrone, best own goal on YouTube, Thompson for the shirt. We'll reveal all in next week's show. Simon says, in the rules, obviously this doesn't count. This doesn't count over 3 minutes. Probably not, but meh. Let's move on and look at things elsewhere then. Let's move back to the topics in hand. If you've got a comment and you want to get in touch, you certainly can do so via the usual methods. Drop us a comment in the comments below, or you can tweet us at MTFC Matters. Coventry on Saturday then, Mark. Obviously, going to go back to a point, if I can find it, which Michael raised earlier on. I can't remember what he said word for word. My comments won't let me scroll that far back. I've had plenty of comments coming in tonight. Keep them coming in as well. But he says, looking at the difference between Shore Lane and Coventry, obviously Shore Lane, tight pitch, bobbly,
yeah,
open to the elements and what have you. Massive difference going to Coventry on Saturday. How are Mansfield going to cope with it?
You know, I think it will suit us, the way that we play. You know, the width we've got in the team and the style of football we play. I think we'll, if we stay to our game and play the way that we do, I think we'll give them a game. I mean, Coventry at home is struggling as well. So, you know, I think we've got a good chance, to be honest with you.
Mark Robbins, obviously a good manager with plenty of experience promotion-wise and things like that. They've assembled a decent squad, but as you say, struggling a little bit at home. Six in League Two at the moment, but in a bit of a rough spell. One win in their last five games. Mansfield, pretty much an ideal time with us, with our form at the moment, because on paper it is actually relatively decent. I think, you know, three wins in six, three draws, three wins. We're not in all competitions, obviously. You'd probably say a decent bit of form now. We've turned a bit of a corner. Ideal time to go to Coventry, is it?
Definitely. I think their fans expect a lot more from what their team can deliver at the minute. And
pick up on that in a second. I want to say this. Simon's just got in touch on the comments and says, got to go, guys, and do some work. It's about time. You've been watching for an hour. Can't sky off that log. See you next week, mate. Thank you very much for joining us as well. Cam, go back to your point, please.
But yeah, Coventry fans expect a lot more than their team can deliver, and they get on their backs a lot easier than a lot of fans, because you look at where Coventry was three, 4 years ago, on the edge of the Premier League. You look at, they were pushing.
It's one hell of a fall from grace, isn't it?
It is. You look at Luton, did the exact same thing and fell a hell of a lot further. Trying to think of other teams. Stockport did it. Portsmouth did it.
Look at Stockport now as well. They're struggling. I think they're in Conference North, aren't they? So.
But yeah, you look at all these teams. They struggle to perform at home as well. And I think, I don't think they've spent a lot of money, and I think they've not got, the fans have not got what they want from it so far, and I think that's where their downfall is. They can perform away from home, so they haven't got as much pressure. But as soon as they're at home, they've got their fans on their back straight away,
but they're in a pretty decent position, aren't they?
They're a pretty good position. But you look at they're in the same position as us. They've brought in players that should be pushing higher up the league table. Obviously, we came into the season.
Just want to highlight on that as well, in no small part actually, to the Checkatrade Trophy and the money that generated for them last year in winning it.
Exactly, but it's still money, in all fairness. They rent the ground, so they don't have to pay as much stuff anymore. So they most of their budget goes on players, and I think they've recruited well, but they're not pulling out the performance, and I think it's the same as us. And I think we can get performances away from home and at home, whereas at the minute Coventry can only get performances away from home.
Yeah. Just looking at a comment Chris says, and I think this highlights probably, you know, why their home form is not that great. It's a great ground but dead atmosphere. It's a bit like Darlington in the Conference. Can you remember that big bowl of a stadium all the way around, wrapped all the way around, but they're just not getting the support in there? And I think sometimes you see that at the one course sometimes, don't you? Especially like in the games like the Chequered Trade and things like that. When the crowds aren't there, especially in grounds like Coventry, it can feel empty, it can feel soulless, and that, especially with the amount of Stags fans we are going to take on Saturday, certainly plays to our advantage, doesn't it?
It takes the pressure away, don't it, from it? It makes it easier for the players to get on with the jobs, and you know, we're not worrying too much about the opposition fans and the faces. And Blackpool were the same, weren't it, last year as well?
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to be pushing, what, nearly 2,000 Stags fans on Saturday. Already, we sold the initial allocation of 1,600. Extra 400, I think, went on sale today, which are going well as well. Mm. I think there'll be at least nearly 2,000 there from Stags on Saturday. And that's that. We don't particularly. It's a bit of a weird one because, you know, that's probably more than what we get for games like Chesterfield and Notts County. It's pushing a similar number. It's Coventry. Mm. It's not like it's, you know, it's not like we're going 10 minutes down the road, is it?
No.
That's a weird one.
It's
good all the same. We're not complaining.
I think I'm going to put my neck on the line, and I think we will go and get a good result there. I think we will go and win, but I think it's because Mansfield turn up for the big games. They've got, if they get a good support behind them, you look at the games when we played away at Lincoln, we sold out there, we got a good performance. Yeah. You look at Crewe, fair enough, we got a 2-2 draw, but it was still a massive following from the Stags. And you look at all the early kickoffs where we've been supported well, against Grimsby, against Notts County, and then away at Shore Lane as well. Fantastic followings for all of the games, and just grinding out the results, good results in the big games. And I think Mansfield only managed to turn up for the big games so far this season.
We have to keep those results coming there whilst we're on this crest of a wave with supporters, because it's just like going shopping, really, when you think about it. You know, you see something you like, you'll go and buy it, and if you keep enjoying it, you'll go back there time and time again. But as soon as it starts to wane, you'll be thinking, why bother? Especially at this time of year when it's getting colder, you know, the nights are getting darker earlier, Christmas is just around the corner. If you've got families, you're thinking, can I afford to spend 20 quid on a ticket when this could be 20 quid towards a kid's present or whatever, or, you know, the partner's present, whatever. It's a tough one. You've got to keep that momentum going. Yeah. On that point, and we're talking about big games and turning up performances, good point raised by Paul on the Facebook comments. Do you guys reckon Chesterfield at the home game will sell out? Online tickets show about 1,400 tickets left without showing the family block. Good crowd will spur the team on. Chesterfield fans not happy with the way their tickets are selling. I've not seen the online ticket sales, of course, obviously, with having seen tickets, not needed to look, but it would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if we could sell out the One Course Stadium for that.
I think if we can get a crowd similar to what we got for Notts County, I think to be honest, we'll probably get more for Chesterfield than we will for Notts County.
Oh, obviously.
Because it's just that rivalry, fans that used to come to us back in the good old days when we were getting crazy attendances compared to what we get now. And I think the old boys as such will want to come back and see the rivalry, what it is now. And I think before it'd be Chesterfield are expected to go and get a result at Mansfield, whereas now it's Mansfield are expected to get the result.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on that game.
I mean, I don't want to say too much, obviously, or jinx it, but if we start getting a good run of results and that comes,
wait to him now before he carries on.
Don't jinx it. Best not jinx it.
Yeah, get a run of results now and that comes on. Everyone wants to get the goal, so that's what it's all about.
That's it. I mean, if you look on paper as well of what the games we've got coming up this month, Coventry struggling for home form. We're on, if we can get there and we can play the football that we have been doing, Byron and Mellis in the midfield have changed it a little bit with the creativity, you know, getting crossed in the box. If we can do that, get a good result, puts us in good stead. Then the week after, I forgot the week after, it's completely slipped my mind now. We're at home, aren't we, the week after?
Yeah. So I think you look at the games that we've got in November.
I did have them written down somewhere.
I've just found them. So you've got, obviously we've got Coventry on Saturday, Stevenage at home the following Saturday, a Tuesday night away trip to Port Vale, and at home to Chesterfield.
I see no reason why we can't have three wins or at least two wins and a draw going into that Chesterfield game.
So that's the thing, you look at the games. And you think, Coventry, not in a great form, we can go and win there. Yeah. Stevenage, we put in a good performance against last season, away from home. Obviously at home, the season before, obviously we lost, but that was under Adam Murray, completely different team now. And I think if we can get a good result against Coventry, we can take the confidence of that game. Port Vale on Tuesday night, I think, will be the trickiest out of the lot.
That's the one because, I think we'll draw.
Because they're on the way up at the minute.
Yeah.
And I think they were fighting for survival earlier this season. They were right down at the bottom. They were bottom at one point. They were fighting it out with Chesterfield and Forest Green. Yeah. But they're on the way up at the minute. So I think that's going to be the toughest one. But you'd probably say you can win all of them.
Yeah,
if you turn up to every game and you play the best you can and you do it for the fans that turn up home and away, I think we can get four wins there. And I said it last week before the Shore Lane game, and we got the win at Shore Lane. I think we can go this month 100% record.
Yeah, definitely.
Win all of them.
I would love us to see that. I mean, how many Novembers have we been thinking, God, just get us to January and just get us through this?
That you look at this time last season, obviously, Adam Murray's last game in charge was a 4-0 tonking at Portsmouth.
I think we are now a week away from Steve Evans' one-year anniversary as well. It was early November when Murray went as well. So
yeah, exactly. So we've come a long way since then. And I think, obviously, this time of season, you look at the games that you've got coming up, fair enough, the tough games, but you also look at the weather, the pitch is going to be a lot harder. And you don't want to get players injured for this time of year, because this is the time of the year you do need your players. I think if we can stay fit and we can keep the best players going in the squad, scoring goals, then I think we can come out of this a lot better than we went into the month.
We would certainly hope so, especially if we can get that momentum going into Chesterfield. That'd be fantastic. It was just the arrogance then we'd have to manage, but no doubt we'll speak about that in future weeks as well. Also a big day on the game, the Chesterfield game as well, because we're going to be putting our walking boots on. I hope neither of you two have forgotten about this.
I'm going to leave you to it.
Let's wait for the forms.
Which Nathan keeps forgetting.
Yeah, well, we'll remind him next week.
They're on the way.
We, along with Simon and Nathan and I think about 50 others, actually, from what Mick was telling me the other night, will be walking from Chesterfield all the way back to Mansfield in aid of guide dogs and in aid of the Alzheimer's Society on the day of the Chesterfield game. We'll be getting up nice and early, making a trip over to Chesterfield.
6:30 departure, something like that.
And we will be obviously making our way across to the One Course Stadium on foot from Chesterfield. We'll be doing some live podcast bit. What cough? What the cough was that?
It's the girliest cough, just trying to hide it. I've run out of tea.
Well, I'm not making you another one. I'm in the middle of a live podcast. If you want to go and make yourself one, go. But no, okay. No, not really. No, go nowhere near my kitchen. I'll have no sweets left. The point I'm trying to make, obviously, we're talking about the walk. It's for a fantastic cause. We'll be doing some live podcasting bits on the day, seeing how we're feeling and things like that as well. We're going to put donation links and stuff on our website and in the links and everything in future weeks as well. So if you can, please support us in any way, shape or form, whether it's a pound, whether it's 10 pence, whatever. We all want your support. We'll have a collective donations page for Mansfield Matters. It'd be great if you can support us and get involved. And if you're still watching from earlier on as well, then please do join us on that as well. You said there was someone earlier on who said if we got rid of the blue shirt, they'd donate £30. Tell you what, once we put that donation page up, £50 for the walk, the shirt goes. The blue shirt goes. So if you're still watching, if you're still listening,
we've got this one instead. Is that better?
Yeah, we could get the
white
one
and
in
blue.
There. Adam Eaton, former left back, is watching. As well, so very good evening to you. But yeah, if you want to get involved with that, please do so. We'll put the links out there. We're going to walk all the way from Chesterfield to the One Course Stadium, podcast bits throughout the day, and hopefully we'll make it back in time with a few blisters, it's got to be said, and get through and do the business against Chesterfield. Just time to round things down then for this evening. Coventry on Saturday then, obviously, as we've mentioned. Prediction time, Mark. What are you going to go for?
2-1 Stags.
2-1 Stags. Cam?
2-0 Stags.
I think it's time for another clean sheet. I'm going to go with you. In fact, I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I think if we can start well and get a goal first 10-15 minutes, I think comfortable 3-0 win, possibly 3-1, but I'm going to go 3-0 because I think it's time we had a clean sheet after a while as well. Also, keep your eye out on Friday for the Checker Trade Trophy draw. We'll try and bring you up to date with that as we can as well. And finally, let's wrap things up with the connection question of this week. I asked at the very start of the show which current Coventry City player had a short loan spell with the Stags in 2010 and who was the opposition manager on his debut, which was a 4-1 defeat. Mark, you said you thought you knew one of the two.
Yeah, but yeah, first name was Peter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Begin with a V.
It did begin with a V. He's not far up. Peter V. Should we call him that?
Yeah.
Peter V. Any guesses on the manager? Obviously, there's a connection either to Coventry or Stags. So, any guesses?
No, I can't think of
the manager. Cam, you said you didn't have a clue.
No, I just looked and I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. The answer was Peter Vincenti.
Oh.
Vincenti, tall, lanky, about 7'9".
I was off.
It began with a V. The opposition manager was Steve Evans. It was Crawley who the player when they debuted. Crawley won by 4 goals to 1. See, Luke, think about it. Think outside the box. Yeah. It's a connection to the Stags, isn't it? One isn't bad because it's more than what he got. So there you go. Well, that's just about it for this week. Thank you very much to all of the comments which have been flooding in tonight. It's been fantastic to have your company with us once again. If you have missed anything, if you've just tuned in and joined us and you have missed anything from tonight's show, you'll be able to watch it back in full later on tonight. Or if you fancy having a listen to it, if you don't want to look at these faces, I mean, to be honest, see any of these two faces, I can agree, but this one, you know, this is the moneymaker, isn't it? If you want to just listen to the audio version, you can do so as well. You can subscribe, as Cam rightly said earlier on, via iTunes. Just search the Mansfield Matters podcast, or get on our website, mtfcmatters.co.uk, and click on the MM podcast page where you can see the list of all the episodes from this series. That is it from myself, Cam and Mark this week. Thanks very much to all of you, as we say, who've got involved on the comments. Join us at the same time next week, Thursday, 6:30, facebook.com/mtfcmatters, where the Fantastic Five will be back. Simon will have escaped from work, not that he's been doing any anyway, and Nathan will be back from blind football training. There's only one thing left to do, remove that cap. See you next week. Goodbye, thanks for watching, bye-bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.